I'm excited. I see some people here today, and I can tell you, Maywood's not a regular place. We don't have a regular Easter sermon for you right here today. We're going to be in a different place in the Bible than probably anybody else in Independence. But I believe that there's people in this room that want to change. There's people in this room who, I'm sure everybody's got villains, but the thing running in their head isn't it's everybody else's fault. They're not giving all that power to the villains in their life, right? We're not coming in as a victim. I believe there's people in this room who aren't going to chase some sort of pleasure or some sort of distraction to gloss over the change, right? I think there's people in the room that are sick and tired of how they've been, and they want something different. And I talked to 3 men this week, each of them in a different spot, but all of them wanted to become better. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some experiences I've had with God. But the thing you need to have an open heart for is, Jesus, what are you saying to me? Jesus died on a cross because he loves you. Jesus rose from the dead because he has that kind of power. Jesus is alive today. That's the one we're looking for. And so if you got a Bible, we're going to flip to this John chapter 12. And it's up there on the screen. There's Bibles in the pew rack. That's a fancy word for like the little box in front of you. If you look in the table of contents right at the beginning, it'll say Old Testament, New Testament. If you get to the New Testament, it'll say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's the John we're looking for. It'll give you a page number. And then you're looking for the big 12, right? Chapter 12. Now, you might be saying, Jake, why are we going to read out of the middle of the gospel instead of the end of the gospel? And you might say, Jake, why don't you just put it on the screen? Like, this is 2023, you know? Like, why are we getting out books and opening them, right? Here's what I believe at Maywood, and what I believe about you all, is that Jesus wants to do a lot more when we're outside of this room than when we're inside of this room. And if we, as a group of people, don't have any familiarity with how to open this up and read it, then we're not going to be all we're supposed to be out there. So we're gonna do it together, right? So we're going to get used to it together. We're in John chapter 12 today. I'm so excited. We've been going through John, and we're about to turn a corner in John. It's been a lot about talking to the group, to kind of everybody. Today we're going to close in. Jesus is going to give us this big, like, everybody, come to me. Next week, we get into this kind of real intimate time in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, where Jesus takes people really deep. And if you will stick around here at Maywood and really say, like, I'm in, then you're going to get to see Jesus pull people close and say, this is what it really means to be my friend. That's where we're headed. He's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of love to show us. But we got to receive what he's got for us today. I'm super excited for this, right? So bear with me. I'm a pacer, right? So John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. We're going to read the whole thing. And if you get nothing else out of today, what you're going to get is this moment where you listen to Jesus, right? And so we're going to pray before we do it. I'm going to give you my best ideas next, but let's let Jesus get the first crack at your heart, right? Jesus, we're here because we need you. If we could fix ourselves, we would be somewhere else today. Jesus, please come and teach us so we can have life with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 47. This is Jesus talking. He says, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father, God the Father in heaven, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Jesus just spoke. Let's pause for a moment. Let's let that sink in. So the first conversation I had with somebody wanting to change today, or change this week, you guys remember how Tuesday the weather was crazy warm, and Wednesday it was like we're living in a whole other place, right? It was cold, and I met a guy walking on Nolan Road who was not, he was dressed for Tuesday, but it was Wednesday, right? He was having a rough day, and we only talked for 10 or 15 minutes, but this guy was having a rough life. Like, it came across pretty quick, right? It's the type of person who, when you ask them about their hometown, it's pretty obvious there's a lot of resentments, right? And that's a rough place to be at when very quickly you're just right out there with, I got a bunch of resentments. Then, man, I had that little those little purple cards in my wallet. I still got a couple of them about come to church. And so I was trying to invite this guy to church, and man, I don't think I was the best salesman for Jesus at all. But as soon as I started to bring up church with this guy, he said this thing that just like, ugh. He said, I've learned not to trust anybody. Like, that's hard, right? I've learned not to trust anybody but myself. That's what he told me. And then we went on to explain like his kind of new best theory on how to change his life. He'd obviously made some mistakes in the past, he told me about. But his new theory was, if I set specific goals, then I won't get so distracted. So that was his plan. I don't come with any sort of judgment. I want the best for that guy. But the little bit of compassion I had for him made me concerned for him, right? I mean, you meet somebody with a lot of resentments who says, I'm not going to trust anybody, but I want to change. And my way I'm going to do is I'm going to set some specific goals. You're like, I don't think that's going to work out great, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a verse about each of these guys I talked to that I think has something that if you're in that spot, if you're here today and your wife dragged you to Easter, or you're here to please your mom, or just you really like biscuits and gravy and then somehow you wound up here after breakfast, right? If you're that, we got a scary verse to look at, right? And I want to tell you a scary story too. So here we go. This next slide here. Hopefully. There we go. Condemned. None of us like that word, right? None of us like this verse probably. This is the stuff we want to just breeze by and act like it doesn't apply, right? But here's verse 48. This is Jesus talking. He says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I've spoken will condemn them at the last day. You see, the man I ran into, he might reach his goals. I don't even know what his goals were. But I can tell you, if he goes through his life saying, I don't need anybody else's help, and I'm just going to depend on myself, I don't think that last day is going to go well. The very next morning, I was worried about this guy. I was praying about him. My heart sank when I read Psalm 49. Because there's this verse in there, it says, anybody who trusts in themselves, it says, death will devour them. It's like, yikes. Like, that doesn't normally get preached on either, right? It's like, this has gotten ugly, Jake. Quick. You know, like, where's the bunnies in the chocolate, right? Like, here's what I want to tell you, and we're going to move on. We got Jesus rose from the dead. We're getting to some good stuff, but stick in this hard stuff for me for a minute. There's a time in my life, I don't have a lot of visions in my life. I've not been graced in that sort of way, but I want to tell you about an experience that changed my life. Back before I'd accepted Jesus, when I was holding on to some pride and some fear, and I was pushing Jesus away. It wasn't that I didn't know anything about Jesus, it was I didn't want to do this with Jesus. I didn't want to say, Jesus, I need you to save me. Jesus was humble enough to give me this experience. I had this experience. I've never had something like this before or since. But I feel like I caught a glimpse that I can only say it was like, it was hellish, right? Like I would close my eyes and I would see this stuff that would super, super scare me. And like, I was not asleep. I was fully awake. I don't talk to a lot of people about this because it seems super weird, right? But here's what I can tell you. I don't know a ton about hell, but here's what that convinced me of. Is if you just cracked the door and just got a glimpse of what that's like, you would immediately want a savior. Like a lot of us go through life and we don't really in our core think we need a savior. We don't really think that. That what I saw, it didn't take me long at all to pray, like, Jesus, please save me. And man, that's what I want to tell you guys today. Start right out of the gate. If you're here and you think, like, I can just trust myself and get through life, like, I want to tell you, like, man, there really is a final judgment. And there really is eternal destinations of where do we wind up. And if you could see your own future with just trust in yourself, you would realize, like, please save me. Is there any other option? And today you are at Maywood Baptist Church on Easter morning. And there's one of two ways this morning is going to change your life. This is either going to be on some sort of galactic heavenly version of a jumbotron of like a, why didn't you listen? Why didn't you accept me? Here it is, like the verse said, like the very words are going to be there to condemn you. Or it's going to be like me that night of like, I got down on my scrawny little knees, right? And I said, like, Jesus, please help me. Like, I need your help. And like, my life has never been the same. Like, Jesus gave me peace that I never knew before. I didn't do anything to earn my way out. I just asked for his help. And that's where it all starts. Jesus did everything he could do to get to us. We read a few weeks ago about Jesus knocked Satan off of his throne. He took away every power that could keep you from him. The only one who can keep you from him that remains is you. You have to say, Jesus, I want your help. We got more to say, but there's nothing more important. If you're here today and you're like, I need Jesus' help, I'm just going to take that preacher dude at his word, and I want help. So if you're today and you want help, I want you to stand up right now and say, Jesus, I need to accept you for the first time. Stand up if you're in that spot. Yep, stay standing for me, sir, please, if you could. So here's what I want. Maywood Baptist Church, we're not a place where it's all on Jake's shoulders and where Jake's the hero. We're a church where Jesus has told every single one of us to help other people get to him. So I want someone to go with this man. There's a courtyard right out here. Talk him through. How does he pray for forgiveness? How does he accept Jesus as his Lord? And then you commit to like exchange phone numbers and you're going to stick with them. Baptism class is on April 19th this month. It's a week late. It's on that Wednesday. You stick with him until he either doesn't want you to anymore or until he's on his own two feet with Jesus, right? So Kyle, I don't know if you're headed to talk to him or not. Maybe you're headed somewhere else. Somebody, though, get up and talk with this gentleman. Kyle is. So Kyle's going to go out here. You can exit those doors. Thank you, guys. So I can be vulnerable with you guys for a minute. There's certain things I don't like talking about as a pastor. Whew, you guys don't hear me talk about hell like ever, right? I mean, like, and that's my own fault, right? But the nice thing about preaching straight through the Bible is Jesus will take us where he wants to take us, right? And all we got to do is just whatever Jesus is saying, like, let's say what Jesus is saying, right? But here's the good news, man, is like, there's a lot more to this passage than just a warning. So here's the second conversation I had with somebody this week. This person talked about they've accepted Jesus. Jesus is radically changing their life. For the first time, they're getting a clear head. Maybe for the first time. They didn't say that, but it seems like it. They've been coming out of all sorts of dark things. But here's the problem they have right now, is all these people they were horrible to, and they hurt so much. Family that loves them, their family's so excited that they've been doing the right thing for just a little bit of time. And this person has been doing the right thing for a little bit of time. They feel like they're going to let everybody down, like they're not worthy of being loved. We can hear stuff in our brain. It's very different to get it into our heart. I want to read us another verse here. Let's flip to this next slide. Led to eternal life. This is verse 50. Jesus says, I know that God's command leads to eternal life. John 17, Jesus doesn't define eternal life of like the more comfortable of two destinations for eternity, right? It's not just like, well, this one's better, so try to get there, right? He defines eternal life in John 17. He says, here's what it's really about. It's about having a perfect relationship with God the Father and with me. It's about becoming the perfect person God had in mind when he put you together. It's about Julian becoming exactly the perfect man that God had in mind when he made Julian. It's not like Dwayne Douglas is supposed to be, right? It's not like anybody else in this room is supposed to be. It's about when you are made by God to be that, you can have a perfect relationship. And see, the thing that makes that doubt in this young Christian's heart so powerful is it's just a little bit of a twist of something that is true. There's something in us that isn't good enough yet to be trusted with love, right? Like, we do let people down. We're not a perfect person yet, right? Do you see what Jesus says there about that command, though? He says that command leads to that perfect eternal relationship with God. If we will do the things that God is guiding us to do, he will give us the gift of righteousness, the gift of right being and right relationships. Now, when I was younger, for a lot of years, I knew Jesus and I would hear gift of righteousness. And I thought like, oh yeah, that means like when I stand up in front of God, he's gonna be like, Jesus's blood is on you. Like, you made a lot of mistakes, but it's all good. You know, like, boom, righteous. You know, like, stamp me or something, you know? And that's not untrue, but a lot of us have grown up in church and we got like the shallow version of God's goodness. And there's a lot more to the gift of righteousness. I can remember struggling with a sin. It's not just the addicts in the room, the drug addicts in the room, who know what it's like to not trust yourself. Any of us that have really tried to not mess up at all on a sin that we've struggled with for a long time, like, I bet you've had the experience of like, man, the more I try, the more I realize how messed up I am. The more I try, the less I trust myself to ever get better. The more I try, the more I start to hate myself because I just fail. And that was the experience I was having. I was sitting under a tree and my hatred for my own failures and my anger started to bubble over to anger towards God. I was sitting under that tree, angry at God about like, God, I hate this sin that I just can't get over. And it's not been weeks, it's not been months, it's been years. Why won't you fix me? Has anybody ever been angry at God like that? Yeah, right? Like, I'm not alone. Here's the thing. It was warmer where I was at, and it was hot. I was sitting in shorts, and there was this shiny little insect, this little bug right down that caught my eye. And as soon as that bug caught my eye, I looked closer at the ground, and I was sitting in, like, a lot of bugs. If you've ever been sitting in a lot of bugs and you're sitting in shorts, like, this is what you do. You, like, immediately, like, jump up, and you're, like, doing this number, right? And that's what I started doing. And as I'm looking ridiculous, God decides to speak to me. It wasn't audible. It was not a voice. But it was very clear. It was like, Jake, there's this one shiny sin that you really hate. But I'm going to use that sin to get you to deal with the whole crowd of junk that you're sitting in. Because I hated one thing about myself, and the truth was there's a bunch of problems. There's still a bunch of problems in Jake. But Jesus wants to uproot a lot more than just this one thing that we're ashamed about. And Jesus did not fix me that day. Sometimes he does miracles and just sets us free from stuff. Other times he takes us on this journey, right? He gives us a command that leads us into righteousness. And so he gave me a whole bunch of steps I didn't want to take, right? And I was not a perfect person. In fact, I fell and fell and fell and fell again. It's strange. Like in John later, Jesus will say, like, I have so much more to tell you, more than you can now bear. I didn't have the capacity to understand what the gift of righteousness was. But when I fell a whole bunch and then got led into a group of Christians that would pray for me every week and that would get really vulnerable with me every week and that I with them, it took me somewhere deeper. When I kept failing over and over, it made me realize, like, I can't ever do this on my own. It led me into all sorts of stuff I would have never done that was positive, right? Here's the deal I want to tell you. Jesus set me free of that particular sin. Something I struggled with for more than a decade. Now it's been about more than a decade with no failures in that. And I don't tell you that of like, man, Jake, like he did it. You're a superhero. Here's what I want to tell you about it. I know about the gift of righteousness like I never knew before. Every time I think about that sin now, I don't feel like, oh man, puff out my chest, like I'm better. I instantly know, like I'm a failed, horrible, like worm that could have never climbed out of that pit. It's totally a gift. Like I never feel any pride about that area of my life. I was so humbled, I just feel gratitude. Like I'm not trapped anymore. Like I know I'm not good. Like I know it in my heart, not just in my brain. I know I'm not good. And I know now what it feels like to be good. Like it's a gift of righteousness. Like I do the right thing, but I know like I could have never got there ever on my own. And it's put so much gratitude in my relationship with God. And that's one little area of my life. God wants to get every area of our life like that. Where there's no pride in us, there's gratitude in us as we do the right things because Jesus has changed us and we know how bad we used to be. That's the gift of righteousness. And I want to encourage that guy who feels like I'm not worthy of love, just keep doing the next right thing with Jesus. Jesus will give you the gift of righteousness. He's already forgiven you. And just like 1 John 1:9 says, he will purify you. Obedience isn't about earning something. It's about opening up our capacity. I could not understand what the gift of righteousness was. I couldn't have it in my heart until I tried the right thing over and over and Jesus changed me, right? I got one more for you and I'm gonna keep you a touch over today, but I think this one's gonna be worth it, okay? Here at Maywood, man, it is easy to focus on all the amazing stuff God does in people's lives right as they're getting started. But I had a conversation with a guy today, or this week, who's been following Jesus a really long time, who has led big stuff for Jesus, bigger than, you know, giant stuff, right? Who tons of people look up to and respect. And this guy was talking about a struggle he had. He's being real vulnerable with me. He said, you know, Jake, it's hard. It's hard for me to accept that Jesus loves me. Like, that's not somebody that got started with Jesus a week ago. That's not somebody who just lost their kids to DFS or something. That's somebody that a lot of Christians would look at and say, like, oh, that guy is a total success, right? And in this moment, in this particular season, he's saying, it's hard for me to really accept that Jesus loves me. He feels so down on himself, right? Mature Christians even can get to that spot where it seems hard to really believe that Jesus loves you. Can I tell you one more story? Here's the deal. Addicts aren't the only ones who keep clean time. When you struggle with sin for a long time and you get some accountability people, it doesn't take much thought to say, like, why don't we start keeping track of days, right? We try lots of stuff, right? So I was keeping track of days of this struggle I had. Anybody who's really tried to get clean of something and has failed a lot, you know what I'm talking about, what I'm about to share, this fear about something good coming into your life. So I had just a little bit of clean time, maybe 3 weeks. And it was not drugs, but it was a sin. And I was tracking my days, and I had fell off a whole bunch of other times with more time than that, right? Here's the thing. Something amazing came into my life. A huge blessing. I was super excited. And then my very next emotion was like, oh, I'm going to mess this all up. You know, it's like being a little kid and being given like a beautiful vase or something. It's like I'm the wrong person for this, right? Like, I'm just going to smash this, right? That's what I felt like. And if you have ever really tried to get over sin in your life, and then you get this giant blessing that's somehow connected, you have this fear. Like, I'm going to blow up everything. This is amazing, and I wish I didn't have it because I'm going to ruin it. And if you don't have this next thing I'm going to talk about, you should get it. At this little spot at that time in my life where at night no one else was there and I could just go there, just me and God. And I had all this fear hit me at night. And I went up to that special spot that I had with God. I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't think I'm ready. How many of you ever been there with something, right? Something good comes in your life and you're like, I'm not ready for a car or whatever it is, right? We got to read you a verse. I'm skipping ahead. Sorry. We're going to read you a verse before we go any further. Next one. Came to save. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I do not come to judge the world but to save the world. Jesus' purpose with you is to do you good. Jesus will try as hard as he possibly can to save you. And I was on my knees thinking, I can't handle this. This is too good for me. And like, I almost don't share this story because I just don't think I can do it justice. Like, just words don't get it across. Here's what God like put in my heart. Again, it was not audible, but there was like a powerful tone to it. The thing he said to me was, Jake, you are ready. And man, if that doesn't break the chain of whatever sin you've been in, we all have this lie that I'll never get free. If you've messed with something over and over for years, you start to think like, I'll never get it. I'm going to die still, whatever, stuck on this. When God tells you, you are ready, that'll break a lot of lies in your heart. There's not a single sin in this world that's stronger than Jesus. You don't have to die stuck in any sort of spot with sin. Here's the thing my friend needed to hear. I actually told him this story. God said, Jake, you are ready. And I've been waiting for you to be ready. And I can't. The eagerness, like, I don't know how to express the eagerness that was there. Like, I was totally convinced, like, I'm going to blow this wonderful, wonderful blessing up. And what I saw instead was my Heavenly Father had been eagerly waiting, maybe for years, for me to be ready. Like, God has blessings that we don't even have any clue about. And he would so want nothing else but to give it to us the moment. He will rush it when we don't feel ready at all. He will rush it to us as soon as it actually is going to be good for us. And a lot of us have this view of God of like, we're skating by, or he's so good, he'll let us just barely get in. The reality is, like, John, God loves you in a way no one else has ever loved you. And then, like, Jesus is eager to put good in your life. There's not like a, well, I guess I'll give the leftovers. There's this idea as I'm waiting for you to be ready for what I want to give you. The last thing we're going to do, we had a courageous man stand up and say, I want to know Jesus for the first time. It's not just people that don't know Jesus that need to respond to God's love. A lot of us in our heart, maybe, I don't know what your brain's telling you, but our heart's telling you, like that second guy, that you're not really worthy of love. Or maybe, like that third guy, your heart's telling you, like, I don't really know Jesus' love. That's not really deep inside of me. If you're here today and you want somebody to pray with you, if you want to be prayed over today and say, I want deep in my heart Jesus' love, then I want you to stand up. We're going to pray with you here in just a second. But if you're here today and you're like, I need to change, and I want Jesus' love to change me, I want you to stand up. So here's the deal. People are still standing up. We got this big courtyard right here, and God has given us a beautiful day. And so here's how this service is going to end. I'm going to pray us out in a second. But if you are one of these courageous people that are standing up, I want you to go into that courtyard. I want you to put your hand in the air until somebody comes and prays with you, okay? And when someone comes and prays with you, we're going to do guys with guys, ladies with ladies, because I told you so. We're just going to leave it at that, right? Okay, that's how we're going to do it. And what I want you to do is I do want you to exchange phone numbers, and I want you to stick with that person, get to know them a little bit, pray with them, right? Jesus doesn't want any of us to go by ourselves. We're vulnerable by ourselves. Jesus wants to come through other Christians. And so today can be different, and you can start that new relationship with somebody, and together you can get to know God's love better, right? So I'm going to pray us out to close us out. But you go into this courtyard, raise your hand, and if you want to be one of those people that come alongside them and partner with them, go out there and pray with somebody that has their hand up, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, it's Easter, and you came to earth for us. You died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. You died on Friday, and on Sunday morning, you rose from the dead. Jesus, we don't worship a dead God. We worship a God who's alive and active today. And Jesus, I pray for everybody that's going to that courtyard. I pray they would know your love like they've never known it before. It's in your name we pray. Amen.